Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus, for your presence and for your glory that is here with us today. Amen.
Amen.
Let us pray. Father, we just want to thank you for this opportunity, this wonderful opportunity of being in your presence. Lord, we thank you that you said in your word that you inhabit the praises of your people, and that, Lord, we believe with all of our hearts that you are here among us today, and that you desire to be with us, you desire to minister to us, you desire to bring freedom to us, you desire to bring healing to us. So, Father, I just ask you, Lord, right now that by the power of your Holy Spirit, that you, O Lord, will have your way and your total control over this service, and that you will move, O Lord. Move, Father, move. Move through your word, Father. Move through the worship, Father. Move in every way, Father. I pray that there will be no obstacle, there will be no wall between us and you today, Lord, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that the walls are lifted up, that, Lord, we will experience, we will have an encounter with you today in the name of Jesus. And everyone says, amen and amen. Hallelujah. So I'll continue speaking today. Oh no, I've been speaking on thanksgiving, praise, and today I'll be speaking on what? Worship. Because I was going to say I'll continue my sermon series on worship, but my sermon series is not on worship. I've been speaking on thanksgiving, praise, and then worship. Today we're going to speak on worship. Amen? And you know, this sermon is so dear to my heart. I was saying to my wife during the week, I said, I pray that I will be able to deliver this sermon the way the Lord wants me to deliver it. Amen? Worship is so dear to my heart. I love worship. Not only do I love worship, I love the presence of God. Amen? How many of you love the presence of God? Amen? There is no point in thanking God and praising God, and the moment we find ourselves in His presence, there is really no point in just being there without enjoying the Lord's presence. Amen? God wants us to enjoy His presence. And that is why when we come into His presence, we should open up our hearts and be willing to allow God to do the very thing that He wants to do in us. Amen? Because God wants to touch you today. He wants to minister to you. He wants to bring deliverance to your heart. He wants to bring healing to your body. This is the God that we serve. Amen? He wants to. But it's up to you. And I keep on saying it week after week. It's up to you to open up your heart and allow God to do the very thing that He wants to do. Amen? Well, this is our last week of the fast. Many of you have fasted. Maybe some of you didn't fast. Well, to those of you who have fasted, and you know many times the last week we would say it's the most difficult week, right? It's the most difficult. And it's easy for us to start something, even with a business. When you're starting a business, it's good, right? When you're in a marriage, in the beginning, it's beautiful. But down the road, when the problems and the challenges come, and even in the fast, when you're looking at the same food you're eating every day, your mind begins to go in all different directions. Amen. So I just feel on my heart to pray for those of you who are tired and those of you who are weary. Amen. So just lift up your hands. I want to pray for those of you who are tired and those of you who are weary. Maybe not because of the fast, but maybe just because maybe life itself, circumstance, situation has just caused you today to be weary and to be tired. Amen? So just, Lord, I just ask that your Holy Spirit will come right now and minister your supernatural anointing. And I ask you by the power of your Holy Ghost that you empower your people. Lord, you empower your people in the name of Jesus. And everyone says, amen and amen. Finish hard. Amen. Look to someone next to you and say to them, finish hard. Amen. Don't look in your fridge. Keep on looking at the Lord. Hallelujah. Remember the benefits of fasting? God is doing something. Even I can stand here and testify of the things that the Lord is shedding off of me, the things that God wants to prune. Amen. And as I sacrifice and I humble myself before the Lord, I see God doing something in my life. And I pray that you will begin to take time this week and begin to see the wonderful things that God is doing in your life in this season. Amen? Because He's doing something. Those of you who are desiring more of God and more of His face in your life, I pray that in this season you will discover more of God, and that in this season you will encounter more of the Lord. Amen? Hallelujah. If you're happy today, say amen.
Amen.
If you're excited, say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So let's turn to Psalms 95. And as we've been speaking on thanksgiving and praise, and we read Psalms 100, verse 4, enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Amen. So I said last week that now we have gone past His gates. Amen. We have gone past His courts. Now we are where? We are in His house. We're in His presence, where the Lord will seek nothing else but worship. When you come into the presence of God, amen, you cannot continue shouting and making noise. Because that is the place where God wants to speak to you. But you know, this is the mistake many of us do in the church. We start off with thanksgiving. We start off with praise. Now we come into the presence of God. What we continue to do, we continue shouting, we continue making noise, and we miss out on what God wants to say to us. Amen. Holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Amen. He's holy. Amen. When we enter His presence, it's the place, we said last week, it's the place that we will acknowledge His what? His holiness. It's the place where we are completely on the ground. And it's the place where it's no more about ourselves, but it's about God. Amen. It's the place where your head is down, you're on your knees, and all that matters is the presence of God that surrounds you. How many of you have experienced this before? The tangible presence of God. The presence, the place where God becomes so real to you. Amen? He becomes so real. You can taste Him. You can smell Him. Amen? When I'm in my prayer room and I begin praising and thanking God, then I get into this place where I know I have just stepped into His presence now. Amen? And when I step into His presence, you know, the Holy Spirit begins to testify that the Lord, the manifest presence of God, is all around you. Amen? And your heart just begins to seek. Your heart begins to cry out to Him. That's the place where you begin to discover how unworthy you are and how worthy is He. How unholy you are and how holy He is. Amen? Many times when we enter into the presence of God, many times we find ourselves crying. Our hearts begins to cry. Our heart begins to weep uncontrollably. And I know many of you have asked yourself this question, just like I have asked myself, why are you crying? Amen. But you know, the heart of the Father is a heart of love. God's heart is love. And when we come into His presence, one thing that we will experience is love. Is love. The beauty of His love. You enter tired, you enter weary, you come out, you're nourished, you're refreshed. Because in His presence there is freedom. In His presence there is nourishment. In His presence, the Bible says, there is fullness of joy. In His presence there is peace. You enter into His presence, your mind is going up and down like a roller coaster. But you enter into His presence and all of a sudden, your mind is at peace. Your mind is at peace. You enter into His presence with pain in your body. You come out of His presence, you're totally and completely healed and you wonder, what just happened? It's the presence of the Lord. It's the presence of the Lord. Amen? It's His presence. Psalms 95 is really, really confirming what we have been speaking about the whole for the past 2 weeks. Entering His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Now listen to Psalms 95. It says, come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Amen. Let us come before Him with thanksgiving and extol Him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God and the great King above all gods. In His hands are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to Him. Who do the mountain peaks belong to? To the Lord. It says in verse 5, the sea is His, for He made it, and His hands formed the dry land. Now listen to verse 6. It says, come. Say with me, come. Say with me again, come. Come. Let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker, for He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, the flock under His care. Today, say with me, today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in Meribah. Amen. So just literally, the Lord showed me this verse again about entering His gates with thanksgiving. Here it starts. It says, come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us what? Let us shout. Amen. Now here, shout, He's not saying sing loud. Amen. He's saying shout. Shout means what? Shout. Amen. Shout means what? Shout. He's saying sing to the Lord. Shout. You know, people are always afraid to shout when they come in the presence of the Lord because they think it is something weird. Amen? Now here the word is saying to us, we should thank Him and we should praise Him with a loud jubilating praise or with a loud jubilating shout. Is somebody here with me today? Amen? When we see people shouting, we think they're weird. When we come to prayer meetings and people are shouting because they're praising God, and the psalmist is saying, shout, for the Lord is the great God. Shout, for He is the King above all other gods. He's saying, shout, in His hands at the depths of the earth. He's saying, shout, and for the mountain peaks belong to Him. He's saying, shout, for the sea is His, and He made it, and His hands formed the dry lands. And for that reason, we have a reason to do what? To shout. Can somebody give the Lord a shout? Hallelujah. Shout. When you're in your prayer room, don't be afraid to shout. If you don't shout, you remember when Jesus was entering Jerusalem, He said, if this people will not praise Me, the stones will begin to praise Me. If you don't shout, let me tell you, something else around you will begin to shout and praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Why I've been teaching this sermon series, because I'm hoping it will change your prayer life. When you're thanking God and when you're praising God, it will be different. I remember I came from a Catholic background, all right? And I was very religious, very, very religious. And the moment we came, this has nothing to do with the Catholic Church. I love the Catholic Church. I've experienced God. I actually got saved in the Catholic Church, right? But you know, in the Catholic Church, people don't shout. Amen? People don't raise their hands. Amen. People don't really scream. I mean, I'm talking because I come from, you know, here in Ghana it's different. But if you come to Lebanon or maybe some other countries, you will see how the Catholic Church is. And I remember coming, as I joined Elim, I remember being so afraid to raise my hands. How many know what I'm talking about? Randa, Raul, I know you will raise your hands. Amen. I used to be so afraid, and I remember starting this way. Then it gradually would go up. And as I look around, and yeah, Jinan is reminding me how we clap. I'll be looking around as everyone else is clapping, and I'm afraid to clap. Amen? So my hand began from this low, then it began going up. Amen? Eventually, everything from up, I started going down. It changed. It began to change. You know, because like I've been saying, you know, God desires our thanksgiving. He desires our appreciation. He desires our praise. And you know, when the Spirit of the Lord is leading us in thanksgiving and praise, automatically your hands will go up. Automatically you will go down on your knees. Automatically you will give the Lord a shout of praise. Because the Spirit of the Lord on the inside of you will give you the ability to do it. And I thank God for the freedom that we have as we walk with the Holy Spirit. And let us begin in this church to experience that freedom that comes with walking with Christ. That freedom that we have with the Holy Spirit. When you need to lift up your hands, lift up your hands. When you need to shout, shout and give the Lord a shout. Don't think Pastor Gabby is going to think you're weird. Don't think that the person next to you is going to think you're weird. No, it's no more about those around you. It's about who? It's about the Lord. If God is saying I should shout, oh, I'm going to shout. That's why I love the Elam Faith Church. I mean, you go there, they can shout. They can shout. I mean, if you see Pastor TK praying, oh, hallelujah. He will shout. He will praise the Lord. Amen. And many times we say, oh no, that is just the culture. No, it's not the culture. I mean, we're Ghanaians. We're Africans, right? Part of our culture is to what? Is to shout. Amen. But now we're in the Jesus, what? Jesus culture. And the Jesus culture calls us to shout. Our prayer life should change from today. Amen. When you're shouting and you're praising God, don't be afraid. Do it wholeheartedly. But you know, it goes on in verse 6. It says, come, let us bow down in worship. And like I said in the beginning, the mistake that we make, because thanksgiving and praise, they are utterances. We sing them. Amen? We shout them. Or we say them. They are utterances. But worship is not primarily an utterance. Worship is an what? Is an attitude. And not only an attitude of the outer body, but the whole inner being. Did you hear me? I said, thanksgiving and praise, they are utterances, but worship is an attitude. And today I'm going to give you some facts about worship, and I pray and believing that your worship will change. Worship is an attitude. Amen. And you know, the Bible gives us many examples of attitudes of worship, like lifting up your hands, like going down on your knees. Amen. And you see many of the great men of God in the Bible going flat down on the ground when they are worshiping the Lord. Worship is an attitude, not only of an attitude of the outer body, but their whole inner being. And now in church, we find people worshiping. Yes, they know how to lift up their hands. And many times worship is only, you see people outwardly, they know how to do it and do it well. But yet the inside, it's missing. And you know, when we don't worship God, and I'm going to be speaking on that very soon, if we don't learn to worship God with our whole inner being and with our whole outer being, our lives will never change. The change will come when we are willing to surrender and to humble our lives and submit our hearts to God in worship. Worship is an attitude. Amen. It's not an utterance. Go to Genesis 24, verse 26. Genesis 24, verse 26. It says, then the man bowed down and worshiped the Lord. What did the man do? He bowed down and worshiped the Lord. He was not screaming and making noise, but he bowed down and worshiped the Lord. Let's turn to Psalms 45, verse 11. It says, "The king is entrailed by your beauty. Honor him, for he is your Lord." Oh, I think I have a wrong verse. Let's turn to Ephesians 3, verse 14. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14, it says, For this reason, I kneel before the Father. What is the kneeling down? It's worship. Worship is an attitude. Amen? 2 Kings 17, verse 36. If you're there, just say amen. 2 Kings 17, verse 36. And I read. It says, "But the Lord who brought you up out of Egypt with a mighty power and outstretched arm is the one you must worship. To him you shall bow down and to offer him sacrifice." What again here? What? Bow down. I have many verses. Let's just go to this last verse, Nehemiah 9, verse 6. Nehemiah 9, verse 6. Sorry, Romeo, I forgot to give you the verses. All right. "You alone are the Lord. You made the heavens, even the highest heavens, and all their starry hosts, the earth and all that is on it, the seas and all that is in them. You give life to everything, and the multitudes of the heavens worship you." Amen? Hallelujah. Worship is an attitude. It's an attitude. It's not an utterance. And why I keep on saying this, so that when we enter into the presence of God, we should stop making noise. Amen. Listen to Psalms 95, the verse we just read, Psalms 95, where it says, "So come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God. And when we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in Meribah." Right? In Meribah. Amen. So it's the place, worship, because it's an attitude and not an utterance, it's the place where we need to be silenced before God and allow God to speak to us. Amen. Worship is an attitude. It's a fact. It's important that we know that worship is an attitude. Let's turn to Isaiah. Isaiah 6. Isaiah 6, 1 to 3. Hallelujah. It says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple." Amen. "Above him were seraphs." Now, seraphs, they are like fiery creatures. These were where? They were around the Lord. They were in the where? In the presence of God. Now listen what the Lord showed me, and I want to show this to you. It says, "Above him were seraphs, each with six wings." All right? So these seraphs, this fiery creatures, they have six wings. Let's say two here, and two down. Six wings, right? Now listen to what the Lord showed me. He says, "With two wings, they covered their face." What is that? Attitude. What is that? Worship. Why did they cover their face? Why do we kneel? Why do we bow in reverence to God? Amen? Here is an attitude where the seraphs in the presence of God, with two wings, they covered their face. And with two, they covered their feet. And with two, they were flying. And they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." Amen? It's a fact. It's important that we know this about worship. Number one is that worship is an attitude. It's not an utterance. Thanksgiving and praise. I like to put it this way. With thanksgiving and praise, the soul is involved in it. Amen? But with worship, it's our spirit. Amen? And that is why when there is no way you can thank God and praise God without opening your mouth. You can't praise God by waving God. You can't praise God by just, you know, doing something. No, we praise God by opening our mouth. We thank God by opening our mouth. But when it comes to worship, it changes from being an utterance, it becomes an attitude where we bow down. And let me say something to you. God desires our worship. In other words, God desires that we bow down before Him. Did you hear me? He desires that we bow down before Him. He desires that we show an attitude of worship when we are in His presence. If God is holy, then let us worship Him the way He deserves, the way He wants us to worship Him. Amen? So worship, number one, is an attitude. Number two, God wants all our worship. Look to someone next to you and say to them, God wants all your worship. He wants all your worship. Let's turn to Leviticus chapter 2, verse 1 to 2. Many of you don't like to read the book of Leviticus, but I find myself studying the book of Leviticus. Amen? And the Lord showed me something wonderful from the book of Leviticus, which I want to share with you. It also has to do with worship. And the fact that God not only desires an aroma from our worship, right? In the Old Testament, they will offer a sacrifice to God because the aroma was pleasing to God. And not only does God desire an aroma from our worship, but God desires all our worship. Amen? Are you with me? Listen to Leviticus chapter 2. It says, and these are instructions that the Lord had laid down for the Israelites for a sacrifice. Amen? Leviticus chapter 2. And I read, when someone brings a grain offering to the Lord, his offering is to be of fine flour. I know many of you in this fast, you're not eating flour. I hope this will not increase your appetite. It says, when someone brings a grain offering to the Lord. So now here's the Lord giving instructions to Moses about his desire of the sacrifice, how the sacrifice is to be offered to him. It says, his offering is to be of fine flour. He is to pour oil on it, put incense on it, and take it to Aaron's sons, the priests. The priest shall take a handful. Now listen to me very carefully. The priest will take a handful of the fine flour and oil together with all. Say with me, with all. Say with me again, with all. All right, listen. Now the priest shall take a handful of fine flour and oil with all the incense and burn this as a memorial portion on the altar, an offering made by fire and an aroma pleasing to who? To the Lord. It says the rest of the grain offering belongs to Aaron and his sons. It is the most holy part of the offering made to the Lord by fire. So let me give you this picture. Now, the Lord desires a sacrifice, right? And the sacrifice is to be a mixture of flour, is to be a mixture of oil, is to be a mixture of incense. Amen? Are you with me? These three are to be mixed and sacrificed and offered as a grain offering to the Lord. But the offering that they offer to the Lord are to be shared with the high priest, with the priests. So Aaron is blessed. Anytime he will come to offer, bring a sacrifice to the Lord, Aaron and his sons will have a share in the offering. Amen? But what the Lord showed me here and what I want to share with you, incense symbolizes worship, right? Incense symbolizes worship. And what the Lord showed me, you know, they do share, Aaron and his sons will share the offering, but the offering that goes to the Lord contains all the incense. So now when the mixture, when the offering is brought, the sacrifice is brought before Aaron and his sons, and The people are offering the flour, the oil, and the incense, and then they mix it up. But when Aaron is separating what is for the Lord, what is for the Lord contains all the incense. Not some, but all. Do we truly offer all our worship to God? Is God truly the center of our lives? Because if God is not the center of our lives, then there is no way that we can offer God all our worship. I hope the quietness is a conviction. Amen? Moses and Aaron will share in the sacrifice, but the part that will go to God will contain, the Bible says, all the incense. Every part of the incense, every part of the worship is to go to no one else, but it's to go to God and only God. They offered the sacrifice to Him and Him alone. Amen? How many times, yes, it's easy for us to come into church and lift up our hands and worship God. We bow down and we cry in the worship, but yet during the whole week, we do our own thing. We live our own life as if God does not exist. If God is calling us as a church to come to this new place of worship, not only worship with our outward being, but worship in Him with our whole innermost being, then it must change. It doesn't end here in church. No, it goes beyond the walls of this church. Worship becomes a lifestyle. It does not end here. Because if we worship God, our lives will change. And God is calling us. And I pray and believe in God that you will search your hearts today and you will ask God, God, are you the center of my life? God, what is it? What other thing am I offering worship to during the week? What other thing has taken your place in my life that you, O Lord, are no more the center of my life? Amen? Are you here? Are you the center of my life? It's easy for us to stand and to say, my body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. But is God, is the Holy Spirit truly the center of your life? Ask yourself this question today. Because if worship only ends in this church and throughout the week you're doing everything else, let me say something to you, which might not make you very happy. God is not the center of your life. There is something you have set up, an idol on the inside of you. Many times when we talk of an idol, we think of a carved image, an image of stone or an image of wood, right? And someone is bowing down to an idol. But an idol is anything that has taken God's place in your heart. If today there is something, maybe it might be a business, maybe it might be some entertainment, maybe it might be sports, maybe it might be hockey, football. There is something that has taken God's place in your heart. Let me say something to you. I have good news. That is an idol. If there is something that has taken God's place, it has become an idol. The Holy Spirit is no more the center of your life, and for that reason, you cannot give Him all your worship. He is no more the center of your life. And God is saying, I want all the worship. I'm a jealous God. Don't share the worship with anybody else. Share the worship with only me. I want all the incense. I want every part of it, your outer and your inner being. I want everything. Hallelujah. Amen. He wants all. King Hezekiah, let's look at King Hezekiah, 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles, verse 29, it says, Hezekiah, I'm going to read from verse 1, and I'm just going to read, not throughout the whole verse. So it says, Hezekiah was 25 years when he became king. And he reigned in Jerusalem for 29 years. Amen. So King Hezekiah comes into power. Amen. He becomes king. He was 25 years old. Amen. He was young. He was a young. Realized that the temple of the Lord was defiled. It was defiled. The Israelites had set up idols on the inside of them. Amen. It says, he calls the Levites, the priests, he says, remove. He tells them to go in, open the doors of the temple. He says, remove all defilement from the sanctuary. Our fathers were unfaithful. They did evil in the eyes of the Lord our God and forsook him. I don't know about you, but if I was King Hezekiah and I'm 25 years old and I'm appointed to be king, the last thing I will be interested in is probably the house of the Lord. It probably will be the last thing. I'll be interested in fame, right? I'll be interested in money. I'll be interested in sex. I'll be interested in every other thing, but not the temple of the Lord. Now, this king was 25 years old, and all he was interested in was to bring back the temple to the place where the temple would offer worship to no one else but God. So he brings the Levites, he asks them to sanctify themselves and to go into the temple and take out all the idols. God was no more worshiped. The temple was dark. It was stinking. And this is the condition of many of our hearts today. Our hearts are dark. We've set up idols on the inside of us, and we're no more able to offer God worship. If God is not the center, there is no way you can offer worship to God alone. You will share the worship. And many of our hearts today, we are sharing the worship because God is not central. He says, listen to what the Israelites had done to the temple of the Lord. He says in verse 6, our fathers were unfaithful. They did evil in the eyes of the Lord our God and forsook him. They turned their faces away from the Lord's dwelling place. They no more were focused on the Holy Spirit on the inside of them. Because we are called what? The temple of the Holy Spirit. Yes, you might be called the temple of the Holy Spirit, but many of you today, this temple of the Holy Ghost is being defiled. It's dark. The doors are closed. But I pray today, as King Hezekiah did, he asked them to go in and open the doors of the temple, that from today, you will begin to open the door so that you will see the dark areas in your life. It says, and they turned their back on him. They turned. That means they no more were offering worship to him because the temple was defiled. They also shut the doors of the portico and put out the lamps. There was no more light in the temple. There was no more Holy Ghost power in the temple. Why? Because the temple was full of idols. They did not burn incense or present any burnt offering at the sanctuary to God of Israel. Worship stopped in the temple. When the temple is full of idols, when the temple is defiled, there will be no more worship. Amen? There will be no more worship, and this is the condition of our hearts. There's no point in encouraging you to worship God wonderfully on the outside, but yet on the inside, because worship is the thing of the spirit. And if you cannot worship God with your spirit because your temple is defiled, then your worship will be in vain. Are you with me today? Hallelujah. If you're with me, then say amen.
Amen.
Yes. Hallelujah. Listen, so he asks that this king at the age of 25, he says to the priest, go in the sanctuary of the Lord to purify it. They brought out to the courtyard of the Lord's temple everything that was unclean. It's about time that we as a church search our hearts and begin to bring out everything that is unclean. It says they brought out to the courtyard of the Lord's temple everything unclean, and they found in the temple of the Lord. The Levites took it and carried it out to the Kidron Valley. They took it far away to the Kidron Valley, and they burnt all the idols. It symbolizes that when we take those things out of our hearts, we take them away, way far away from us, and we say no more to them. Amen? And I'm going to speak this word over you. Verse 11, it really touched my heart, and I know it says my sons, but I'm going to read it over you. My sons and my daughters. Any daughters here in the house today?
Yes.
All right, if you're awake, say amen. It says, my sons and my daughters, do not be negligent now. This is a word to you. Do not be negligent now, for the Lord has chosen you. You have been chosen. I cannot choose you, but God has chosen you. You have been chosen. The Lord has chosen you to stand before him and serve him. I cannot stand on your behalf and serve the Lord. No, God has chosen you to stand before Him and to serve Him and to minister before Him and to burn incense. God has chosen who? You. He has chosen you to minister. He has chosen you to serve. And He has chosen you to sacrifice and offer incense. You. But where is your heart today? Because if your heart is full of idols, then there is no way. If God is not the center of your life, then the worship will be dispersed. You will share small with God, and you will share small with the other things that are idols in your life. Maybe it's your business. Men, we like to work. Amen? Maybe it's your finances. Maybe it's your car. People may spend more time in their car. They love their car so much, they spend more time in their car more than with the Lord. Amen? Maybe it's Facebook. You know, the devil likes to be worshipped. You know, he was cast out of heaven because why? He desired worship for his own self. And he's doing everything now in his power through the media, through Facebook, through entertainment, through sports, through business. Everything in his power. You know, he was not cast out of heaven because he committed adultery. He was not cast out of heaven because he murdered someone. No, he was cast out of heaven because he desired worship. He desired to be worshipped, and for that reason, he was cast out. And today, the Bible tells us that he's the king, he's the ruler of this world, right? And he's dominating every part of this world. So that why? So that he can gain worship all over again. What are you worshiping today? Is it entertainment? Is it movies? Is it TV? Is it Facebook? Facebook, is it social media? I remember I downloaded this app on my phone, and this app was really entertaining, you know. And I found myself spending so much time on this app. Even when I enter into my prayer room, I take out my phone. Before I realize, I've spent about an hour on the app. And when it comes time to sit and pray, I give God 5 minutes, 10 minutes. Yes. Amen. But it must change. What are you worshiping today? Are you giving your all to God? Or are you sharing it with other things? Because God's heart is not only that you have an attitude of worship, but He wants all the worship. Amen. John 4. Let's go to John 4 and we'll be ending soon. John 4. John chapter 4. And this is the story of Jesus and the Samaritan woman. Amen. And I'll read from verse 23. It says, "Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and His worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth." Amen? We always read this scripture. God is spirit. God is calling us to worship Him in spirit and in truth. You know, the Samaritan woman had her own ideas about worship. But the Lord comes to her and He tells her, "Yet a time is coming." So until that time, it had not yet come. Amen? It had not yet come. And maybe you want to ask me, well, Pastor, how did they worship in the Old Testament? Right from Adam, maybe to Jesus. They did not worship with their spirits. They worshiped with their soul and with their body. They never worshiped with their spirit. It's only when Jesus came and He died that He paved the way for us to begin to worship Him in spirit and in truth. They worship Him with their soul, with their emotions. Amen? They worship Him with their body, when they lift up their hands and they go down on their knees. You know, we're made up of the spirit, soul, and the body, right? So they worshiped Him with the body and the soul, but not with the spirit. It's so important that we understand, church, that worship is with the spirit. Amen? Without the Spirit, you cannot worship God. If you go to Mark chapter 7 and I don't want to go there because of time. The Bible talks about true worship and false worship. How people honor Him with their lips, but their hearts are far. So worship is all about the heart. It's about the spirit. And Jesus said that the worship that pleases the Father is the worship that is done in what? In spirit and in truth, because the Father is spirit. And many times I've thought about it. God, how can I worship you in spirit? Amen. I'm going to use the tabernacle. You know, the tabernacle, the tent of meeting, also means the dwelling place, right? We are the temple of what? Of the Holy Ghost, right? The tabernacle was divided into three parts, just like us: spirit, soul, and body, right? We have three parts. The outer courts, which was visible, just like our body, and the inner courts, the holies, and the holy of holies, right? But between the holy place and the most holy place was a curtain that separated them from the presence of God. So they couldn't get into the presence of God. And this is so important that we understand it's only by the Holy Spirit that we can worship God in spirit. And maybe you want to ask me, Pastor, how is it possible? What about all other religions that know how to bow down and that know how to lift their hands? I want to say something to you. If they are not born again and they don't have the Holy Ghost living on the inside of them, they cannot worship the Father in spirit. And for that reason, the worship is in vain. It's not pleasing to God. Don't be impressed about people who can bow down 10, 20 times a day when they're not able to worship. And same with us, even in the church. We know how to bow down. We know how to lift up our hands. But if we're not worshiping God in spirit, because it is the Holy Spirit that will give us the ability to worship God, just like speaking in tongues, it's the Holy Spirit that gives us the ability to speak in tongues. And it's the same way, it's the Holy Spirit that gives us the ability to worship God in spirit. Hallelujah. When the veil, when that curtain was torn, Jesus paved the way to enter into the presence of the Father. There was a separation from entering into God's presence. And in the same way, Jesus paved the way through the Holy Spirit to enter into us so that we will have the ability to worship Him in spirit. The Holy Ghost that gives us the ability. So if we enter into the presence of God and we're doing our own thing and we're not depending on the Holy Ghost to lead us into worship, to lead us into that direction, church, I have bad news for you. The worship would be in vain. It will be in vain. Amen? Amen. It is the Holy Spirit that will lead you and cause you to worship the Father. Without the Holy Spirit, if you're here today and you are not born again and you don't have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you and you've been worshiping and worshiping God, your worship is in vain until you come to that place where you accept Christ as your Lord and personal Savior and allow the Holy Spirit to come and dwell on the inside of you. He will begin to give you the ability to worship Him in spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, worship is in vain. Did you hear me? Worship is in vain. So when you're in the presence of the Lord, amen, begin to get connected. It's one thing to be in His presence, to be in His home, but it's another thing to get connected. When you come into His presence, get connected to the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit take control. Allow God to speak to you. Amen. And that will be true worship. God is not only seeking an attitude of worship. God is not only seeking all our worship, but God is seeking us as a church to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Because that is the kind of worship that pleases the Father. Worship that is offered in spirit and in truth.